Part of Canada's most extensive sports network. TV, online, magazine, and radio. Proud to serve Calgary and Southern Alberta. Sportsnet 960. The Fan. Calgary's team.
Verify ready to go for one.
Canada's team. Ignition. Sportsnet 960 The Fan brings you every game all season with our play-by-play team of Derek Wills and Peter Loubardius.
Halloween hockey on Friday night. Flames and Predators pregame with Pat Steinberg goes at 6. Play-by-play goes at 7 with Derek and Lubo. Flames in Nashville right here.
On air every time the Flames hit the ice. This is Calgary Flames Radio. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary Flames hockey is brought to you by Chariot Express and Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC.
The words that started it all, Hockey Night in Canada, a Canadian tradition. A place where we've watched young stars become legends. Hockey Night in Canada returns for its 60-second season on more channels with more choice than ever before. Every week, choose from up to 7 nationally televised games. Hockey Night in Canada, the tradition continues.
Jared here from Jack Carter's, Calgary's number one crew cab dealer.
Jared, really? Number one in Calgary kind of played out.
You're right. We're number one in Canada. And we dominate so hard that we're staking claim to the $400 GMC Crew Cab 4x4, where you pick the term. 3, 4, or 5-year lease, whatever you want. We'll make it work with no money down because we're number one in the universe. To the moon, Trigger. Jack Carter, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC.
All across Canada, the name that means expert heating and cooling is Reliance. We've earned the trust of over 1 million homeowners. Now we're here to earn yours. Let's get together for a free in-home consultation, no strings attached. And to sweeten the deal, we'll give you $300 for your old water heater when you switch to a tankless. Conditions apply. Calgary Reliance. New to this town, trusted across Canada.
Homes run better on Reliance.
For details, visit calgary.reliancehomecomfort.com.
It's the Ford Swap Your Ride Bonus Week. Until October 31st, Canadians are getting an additional $500 on top of already great deals. And how do they feel about that?
Amazing. That's what I'm talking about.
All those features and $500, sold.
Now's the time to get into a new 2014 vehicle like the Focus Escape and Edge with financing as low as 0% and a no extra charge winter safety package. Or get the F-150 with up to $9,000 in rebates. Get your additional $500 bonus only until October 31st and only at your Ford store. See Ford.ca for details.
Hi, I'm Joseph Laskowski of the Cattle Baron Steakhouse. There's no doubt that Calgarians have a variety of choices to choose from when dining out. No matter what your preference, the recipe of success always includes great food, service, atmosphere, and value. We like that recipe, and we're good at it. At the Cattle Baron, we work hard for your AAA stamp of approval. So for that rare steak experience, drop by one of our 2 locations and ask about our award-winning Sterling Silver Steak Cuts. See for yourself what knowledgeable, caring service is all about. And when you do, don't forget, tell them Joe sent you.
Check out the Fan Club for your chance to win awesome prizes. This week, Fan Club members can earn even more points with an exclusive online bonus code with Executive Suites by Roseman. Win now at sportsnet.ca/960.
Want to know how you can score some great stuff from Sportsnet 960? Sign up to become a Fan Club member now. Your chance to score tickets for the biggest games, hottest concerts, and some awesome prizes.
Sportsnet 960 and CIR Realty are teaming up to salute local minor hockey heroes in the community. Do you know someone who's a champion in the hockey community who goes above and beyond for the kids in their team? Then nominate them now and have them recognized for their heroism. Help us celebrate one deserving volunteer from each hockey association in Calgary as a minor hockey hero. Submit your nomination now at sportsnet.ca/960. Sportsnet's minor hockey heroes, proudly in your community, sponsored by CIR Realty, because a great experience begins with a great agent. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan and Shank Sports Grill are proud to be the home for the NFL Game of the Week. Calgary loves the NFL. Shank's has 2 great locations, Crowfoot in the Northwest and McLeod Trail South. Fan Club members log on to win a $50 gift card to catch the game at Shank's. Monday Night Football, always a great time to start your week. Loads of big screen TVs. It's really the only place to watch the NFL. Shank's Sports Grill, your football headquarters for all NFL action. The home of the National Football League in Calgary. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Earn even more points now by liking Sportsnet 960 on Facebook and following us on Twitter. Sign up to become a fan club member now at sportsnet.ca/960. Your chance to score tickets to the biggest games, hottest concerts, and some awesome prizes. Head to sportsnet.ca/960.
This is CFAC 960 AM. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. From Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Communications. We are Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Getting your afternoon started right now. It's Pat Steinberg on The Big Show. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
And the 0-2 pitch, a swing and a miss, and it's over. The Royals throttle the Giants 10-0 here in Game 6. And there will be a seventh and deciding game in the World Series tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night now becomes tonight. Game 7 of the World Series at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri. The Royals hammer the Giants to force Game 7. Let's preview it right now as we kick things off on the Big Show this afternoon. My name is Pat Steinberg from the Scotiabank Saddledome, and our good friend who's been with us throughout the 2014 Major League Baseball postseason is John Manuel of Baseball America. John, as always, we appreciate this a ton, and how giddy are you that we get to see the World Series go the distance?
No, it is exciting. I mean, it's another day of people writing articles about how baseball's dying or there's not enough eyeballs or all that kind of stuff. That's the negative part, I guess, for some people. But, I mean, the game has put on a good show this month. So for those of us who do care, and there's, last I checked, still millions and millions, and it's nearly a $9 billion industry, it's been a pretty good show. Each individual game in this World Series hasn't been necessarily competitive, but there have been some really fun performances, and I hope we get an epic Game 7. And we haven't had a ton of Game 7s in the last 10, 15 years. I'm looking forward to one tonight.
So how surprised are you? I mean, obviously it's surprising to see anybody win 10-0 in a World Series game. But to see Kansas City respond the way they did in Game 6, facing elimination for the first time in a playoff series in 2014, that they responded the way they did, that they were able to force a Game 7. Did that surprise you at all?
It did surprise me that Ventura pitched as well as he pitched. I mean, the kid's 23 years old, and that he completely shut down the Giants' offense, which has been pretty productive in San Francisco. That surprised me. I wasn't surprised that Kansas City won, though, because just Jake Peavy has just been so bad in his career in the postseason, and it's really weird. I mean, it's a guy who won a Cy Young Award, although quite a few years ago in San Diego, but he still has pretty good stuff, and he was quite good for the Giants. In the second half, he's a big reason why they were the wild card team. But he's just been historically, I believe he has the worst ERA in postseason history for pitchers thrown as many innings as he's pitched. So just historically, he's been a brutal postseason pitcher. And when the Giants decided to start him and not start Yusmeyr Petit or maybe move up Vogelsong or try something else, I did think the Giants were at a decided disadvantage in that game with the energy that the Royals get from their crowd. So 10-0, a blowout. I didn't expect a blowout, but I did expect the Giants to lose with Peavy on the mound. He's just been that bad lately.
Yeah, it certainly was curious. I mean, knowing the postseason success Vogelsong has had, you thought maybe they'd go that way. Why do you think the Giants decided to go with Peavy and stick with their rotation? Is it just kind of having faith in your decisions and having faith in your players?
I mean, that's really what it boils down to is that, you know, Bruce Bochy and Dave Rigetti have done this a long time. And one of the reasons they've done it a long time and been so successful is they've shown that kind of faith in their players, and usually their players reward them. So, you know, Jake Peavy just wasn't able to do it. And hey, it's not like the Royals torched him in that inning. There were some dinks and some dunks, and, you know, the key play of the second inning last night was the little infield hit by Infante that was later changed to a fielder's choice, but the lower belt. You know, should have known the runner at third was Sal Perez. Yeah. He wasn't going to be coming home. And that misplay opened the floodgates. But, you know, Hosmer's double, he hit it two inches. He hit it hard, but he chopped it right off the ground. Aoki's hit wasn't hit hard. Kane was a blooper. So the only big hit that, you know, was really squared up was Billy Butler to right center field. And by that time, it was already 6-0. So it's not that, you know, you got to have a little luck, but the Royals had that, but they have the speed and athleticism to take to take advantage of whenever a break does go their way. And that's why they've been successful this year. That's why they've been successful in the postseason. And their speed and athleticism continues to play. And it's a very fun style of baseball to watch. And I've had a lot of fun watching the Royals. Not just the underdog story. That part's great. Their fans' passion, that's all great. But to me, it's the style of baseball they play that is a very entertaining style to watch.
He is John Manuel of Baseball America joining us here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Okay, you mentioned the underdog story and the feel-good story that are the Kansas City Royals, but now they're more than that, right? Like, they're no longer just a feel-good story. Like, they're a really good baseball team, too.
Yeah, I think in every sport, I'm sure this happens in hockey, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when one team wins, their style or their approach becomes a template that other teams try to emulate. So will the Royals become this template of where other teams try to accentuate speed, defense, athleticism going forward? It might be. It's a very old-school baseball approach, but the trends in the game have certainly been more the analytical walks, three-run homers, that style of play that was celebrated so well in Moneyball. But this is not a team that plays that style. They had fewer than 100 home runs, the fewest home runs for a postseason team since the Dodgers in 1988. It's power arms out of the bullpen that you want to try to emulate, I think, as well. That's a trend that's throughout the sport. That's probably the worst trend in baseball is the bullpens, because, I mean, it's great when a pitcher starts an inning, but there's nothing more boring in the world of sports than a pitching change. Nothing. And that's, to me, pitching changes are the number one reason why baseball ratings are down, is because pitching changes are boring, and when the game's supposed to get more interesting in the late innings of a close game, it often gets less interesting because relief pitchers, A, can be so effective, and B, because it's just boring to watch pitching changes. And I hate matchup lefties. I hate them. It's just not something that's fun to watch, but it can be fun to watch Wade Davis dominate the way he dominates, or Greg Holland, and that's very effective Royals bullpen, and thankfully they're effective, so they usually don't make changes in the middle of innings. So the key for the Giants tonight, obviously, you got to get a lead early because you cannot trail the Royals with that crowd and that bullpen. If the Giants were to come back late in the game to win Game 7 of a World Series, that'd be one of the biggest stunners of all time, because that, you know, Herrera, Davis, and Holland have been unbelievable at the back of the Royals bullpen. And that's the number one reason that they're in position to win a World Series championship.
John, you take a look at this series and the six games that have been played so far. Only Game 3 was anywhere, you know, close to being a close baseball game. Everything else has been pretty much a walk for the winning team. How come the margins have been as large as they've been?
You know, I think so much of each individual game comes down to pitching matchups and how each team uses their bullpen in that day. So when you've had a blowout like last night, you know, A, you had Ventura really shove, you know, against the Giants, and the Giants' bullpen couldn't put out that fire in that big seven-run second inning. So, and the same thing was happening Game 5. Number one, Bumgarner was just so good for the Giants. And then, you know, late in the game, the Giants were able to put things away. So I think it really just comes down to both these teams. The reason they were wild card teams and 88 or 89 win teams, not 95 win teams, is they have good starting pitching, but not super deep starting pitching. They have good bullpens when they have a lead, and the Giants have Romo and Casilla and Affeldt they can go to. But when they're losing, you know, Gene Machi, Hunter Strickland, these other relievers, they can be exploited, so you can blow those guys out. And it's the same thing we've seen with the Royals. Those top three guys I just mentioned are outstanding in the bullpen. If they use anybody else, it's an adventure. So that's how you've gotten some of these blowout kind of games. And they are right. Both good offensive teams. I mean, I think the Giants are a much more offensive team than people give them credit for. Really, to me, their identity right now as an organization is offense. Panic, Sandoval, Posey, those are all homegrown, above-average offensive performers, and Panic's been really fun to watch as a rookie with that kind of patient and advanced offensive approach.
With John Manuel of Baseball America as we preview Game 7 of the World Series tonight. It is live on Sportsnet West and live here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, just starting after 6 o'clock, and looking forward to seeing who gets decided as World Series champion tonight in Kansas City. knowing that the Giants, and when you and I talked last, you made a really good point. And you can't, you said you can't really call the Giants a dynasty because their three trips to the World Series in 5 years have kind of been done by different teams and different core groups. But knowing Bruce Bochy and knowing a couple of the guys who have been through these grinds before, how much does the experience of the Giants in World Series games and in situations like this play into Game 7 tonight?
You know, they do have several players who were part of that 2012 team, Pence, Sandoval, Posey, Crawford, Belt. All those guys were on that 2012 club. But that team kind of wanted a blowout. You would think that the experience would help a little bit, but I think the experience that helps is almost counterbalanced more by the crowd. And in Game 7, you should have energy, you know, but for a pitcher, that might be too much nervous energy. And Tim Hudson, and he may be 39 years old, but this is his first World Series. This is the first time he's ever been on a team that's won a playoff series. So, you know, the fact that he's the oldest pitcher ever to start a World Series game, I'm not sure if that's going to help him or hurt him. And maybe it helps him settle him down against a very vocal, rabid crowd. But, you know, he doesn't have experience in that, in this environment. And none of these players really do. So I think it does help to an extent. I think it's overcome on the other side by the fact that the Royals are so much more athletic, but they do, to me, have a crowd that they feed off of. And as a young team, I think that crowd really plays a big part of it. I'm surprised by how much the home field advantage actually has mattered. I know that each team has stolen the game on the road, but you could have felt it last night that the Royals crowd really played a big part, I thought, in that second inning rally where just things just did not, mm-hmm. every little break, went Kansas City's way, and it feels like that happens a lot more at home than it does on the road.
I want to ask you about this pitching matchup. You just mentioned 39-year-old Tim Hudson, Jeremy Guthrie on the mound for the Kansas City Royals. What strikes you about these two guys as they start the most important games of their careers?
Well, I think you'll know with Hudson immediately. If he's elevating early, he'll be overamped, he'll be too excited. He's a, you know, sinker, cutter, split-finger guy at this point in his career. So if he misses, and he misses at the ankles, then he's okay. But if he misses at the thigh or higher, he's going to be in trouble, and he'll be yanked very quickly. Really, to me, all the Giants are looking for is give us three or four innings with a lead so we can go to Bumgarner and hold the, you know, and take that lead to our again, Affelt, Romo, Casilla in the back of their bullpen. I mean, that's the game plan for Boch. On the other side, to me, Jeremy Guthrie, he could be good for three or four innings and then blow up, you know, because he's just a really four-pitch guy where everything's kind of average. I've always been a big Jeremy Guthrie fan back to when he played at Stanford, a really bright guy, engaging interview. I really like him. But, you know, Tim Hudson was my second interview ever at Baseball America. So my heartstrings pulled in both directions on those guys. I think with Hudson, though, you will know very quickly whether he's going to give that team five or six innings, you know, two or three times through the order, or if he's going to be out quickly, because with a sinker baller, you usually know quicker than a guy like Guthrie, who's a little bit more of a fly ball pitcher, should be, you know, has been well suited to that ballpark where it's hard to get the ball out with those 387-foot gaps in left center and right center. But to me, you'll know quicker with Hudson if he's off.
All right, John, we'll put you on the spot a little bit. Game 7 of the World Series tonight. Who do you like? Who are you kind of putting your weight behind? And who comes away as the 2014 World Champion?
Well, I am picking the Giants, and I picked them at the start of the series. I do like the pitching matchup for them. I do like Tim Hudson, his chances in this game. He's been around a long time. Again, I do think he's a guy who's going to get some balls down in the dirt. And one X factor for me with him is Brandon Belt has had a terrible series defensively at first base. Wouldn't shock me if a ground ball where you're looking for that ground ball and you get it one when you need it, and if your defense lets you down, then you get let down. So I am picking the Giants. I think if they get an early lead off Guthrie, you're going to see Bumgarner, and I think Bumgarner will be good enough out of the Giants bullpen to take it through to the rest of their guys. So and Boch, I trust, I suppose.
Fair enough, and he's got the track record to say something like that. John, as always, appreciate this. You've been so much help to us throughout the entire 2014 season and postseason. We really do appreciate it. Enjoy Game 7 tonight, my friend.
Hey, thanks. I'll do my best, and same to you. Thank you.
There is a John. from Baseball America. You always get a little bit smarter when it comes to the sport of baseball after talking to John Manuel. Game 7 is all over Sportsnet tonight on television, Sportsnet West, on radio, Sportsnet 960 The Fan, starting at 6 o'clock, Game 7 of the World Series. Here is Royals manager Ned Yost.
What I fall back on is when I was 10 years old, hitting rocks in the backyard, trying to hit it over the fence for a home run. You know, I never one time thought, okay, bases loaded, two out, bottom of the ninth, game five of the World Series, you know? Never. It was always two outs, bottom of the ninth, game seven of the World Series. So it's special. I had a very, very strong feeling that whoever won game six was going to win game seven. And if the Giants would have won tonight, they would have proven me right. But we got to wait tomorrow to see if my theory is correct.
Ned Yost, he's certainly good for a soundbite, isn't he? But he feels like his team's in a good position to win Game 7. I like that line, though. I never grew up wanting to win Game 5 of the World Series. I always wanted to win Game 7. We talked to John Manuel about the pitching matchup. Tim Hudson on the mound for the Giants. Jeremy Guthrie going for the Royals at 39. Hudson, the oldest pitcher to ever start a World Series game. But you can tell he's looking forward to it.
This is why you play the game. This is why you compete. This is why you work so hard throughout your career to hopefully have this opportunity. You know, I'm going to have some fun. You know, I've waited a long time for this. And, you know, it's, you know, I feel very calm about, you know, the task at hand. You know, I'm no different than anybody else. You know, something that, you know, as a kid growing up, you think about it. As a big league player, you think about it and, you know, often wonder if, you know, you're ever going to have that opportunity to do it. And, you know, 16 years in the big leagues, I finally have that chance, and I mean, I'm really, really excited about it. I can't wait. I can't wait to get out there tomorrow and, you know, have some fun.
There's Tim Hudson, who starts tonight for the San Francisco Giants in Game 7 of the World Series. And text comes in, Pat, who do you have tonight? Home field has to count for a lot. That comes from Mike. It does. I still have the Giants. I fall back on that manager. I fall back on that core and the fact that they've been here before. They know what it takes, so on and so forth. I've got the Giants, but I want to be wrong because I want to see the Royals win the World Series tonight. It would be awesome to see them come away with a world championship. It's already been a historic year for Kansas City, and Robbie and I talked about it yesterday. Win or lose, I'm never forgetting the 2014 Royals postseason. This is one for the ages, but yeah, I want to be wrong. I want to see them win tonight, even though I think it's going to be San Francisco. Big Show continues on your Wednesday afternoon. It is an auction Wednesday here on the Big Show. We've got a pretty cool package for you. So here's the deal. We have got a pair of tickets to the Edge Legacy Dinner tomorrow at the BMO Center. And on top of that, we're going to throw in a pair of tickets to the Flames and the Sabres on January 27th and give you the behind-the-scenes all-access tour with the Hot Stove Lounge, the media dinner, and more. So here's the deal. The actual Edge Legacy dinner is for the Edge School, but all the proceeds from this auction are going to our good friends at KidSport. So you're thinking, okay, well, this sounds kind of cool, but tell me a little bit more. Here's the best part of it. As cool as the Flames and the Sabres game is and the behind-the-scenes tour is, you get an opportunity to go see John Elway and Mark Messier speak tomorrow at the BMO Center, as two of the greatest sporting figures in the history of North American sport are going to be in our city speaking at the BMO Center, and you can be there if you are the winning bid on this auction. So not only are you getting to go see the Flames and the Sabres, not only are you contributing to a great cause in kids' sport, but you're also getting a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Right now, our leading bid comes from Tom at $650. If you would like to beat that bid and be the one going to the Edge Legacy Dinner tomorrow and see that Flames-Sabres game in January, give Josh a call at 403-240-4444 and star 960 on Rogers Wireless. Robbie will wrap up the auction just before 6 o'clock tonight, but $650 is the leading bid right now from Tom, and we'll keep you up to date on our auction throughout the afternoon. A few texts at 960-960. We've talked a lot about the Flames and did so a lot in Hockey Central at noon. And one of the things we talked about, or somebody that had texted in and said, you know, what are they doing starting Hiller? What about Connor McDavid? And I said, look, coaching staff, players, you're never going to get players that are playing to lose. You're never going to get coaches who are coaching to lose. It's just never going to happen. That's not the way it works. You know, an organization can rebuild. An organization can, you know, go in a different direction, and that will have the results and have the competitiveness of the team, you know, maybe suffer as a result. But what happens in the smaller picture day-to-day, what happens inside the locker room for the coaches and the players, they're always going to be doing everything in their power to win hockey games. So a couple of texts at 960-960. If you're cheering for your team to lose, then you're doing it wrong. You can expect them to finish last if winning makes you happy. I don't know. You can expect them to finish last. It's winning. Anyway, the point is, you can't necessarily bank on a team tanking. You can't bank on a team to go about their business that way. I understand the argument of seeing these generational players in the draft, but I don't think there's much else you can do than rebuild your team. And unfortunately, Carolina and Florida and Buffalo are just so bad that there's nothing the Flames can do. I don't, short of continuing this rebuild and trading some players away, which I think is a possibility at some point this year, Flames can't do much. I mean, you can't help it that the other teams are that much more poorly run than you are. And I'm not even saying the Flames are poorly run. I like the way they're going right now. But right now, Carolina and Buffalo and Florida are such a joke. It's next to impossible to think the Flames are going to finish behind them. And the Flames have played some pretty competitive hockey through the first 11 games of the year. This one says, everyone pump the brakes. I like where the team is going, but the goalies are hiding deficiency. The team started 5-5-2 last year as well. Absolutely. And that's why I'm, you know, when I talk to people on overtime and they say, hey, do you think they're winning, you know, making the postseason? I say, no, I don't think this team is ready to be a playoff team yet. That being said, I think there's some positives that this team has done to start the season. I think there are some real encouraging signs that are carrying over from last year as well. I mean, I do think this team is going in the right direction, but I'm not getting too caught up in what the record looks like to this point. I'm not getting too caught up in, you know, are they going to be able to make their way towards a postseason spot? Far too early to have those conversations, first of all, and I think far too early in the process for the Flames to be in that spot. Next year, maybe. The year after, I think that's when you really should be expecting the postseason to be much more of a reality. But that's kind of where I am as where the Flames are 11 games into the season. I think that their 5-4-2 record is nice. I think they've done a lot of positive things, and I think this team is continuing to go in the right direction, and that really is the most important thing. Your text always welcome here on the Big Show at 960-960. This one says, we are the lowest cap team. That tells me we're going after a high pick. I don't think the Flames ever went about their business. I don't think Brad Treliving ever went about his business and say, okay, we're going to be going after a high pick. What Brad Treliving and before him, Brian Burke and before him, Jay Feaster were doing, they were building the team in a certain direction. So they traded away Bouwmeester. They traded away Aginla. They dressed Monahan. They brought in young players, they gave young players shots and all of that. They didn't sign huge names in free agency. They did this because they're going in a certain direction. They're at a certain point in their process. And as they move closer to where they want to go, then they start trading then they start thinking about trading assets, and they start thinking about making big splashes in free agency and so on and so forth. But no, I don't think that they ever thought about it as if, okay, we're going to go for the number one overall pick. They're just continuing their process, and they're letting the chips fall where they may. And to me, that's really all you can do if you're rebuilding the proper way. And I think the Flames are absolutely going in the right direction. I like a lot of things about what we're seeing in year two of this rebuild. You've heard the promo a few times. Boomer and Warner's stamp of approval beer with Wild Rose. They're putting their own spin on the Wild Rose Electric Avenue beer, and it's one of my favorites. Again, as I said a couple of days ago, if you've never been to the Wild Rose Brewery, you got to give it a try. Even if it has nothing to do with the stamp of approval beer, going and checking out the Wild Rose Brewery in this city. It's one of the best kept secrets. Great food, a really cool tour, all of that stuff. But Boomer and Warner are trying their hand at being brewmasters. Now, the good news is they're going to have supervised brewmasters watching over them, so they can't screw it up that bad. But if you want to come hang with us on December 10th and hang out and watch Boomer and Warner unveil their stamp of approval beer, sign up on the Fan Club or use your points on the Fan Club to enter sportsnet.ca/960. Yeah, we'll be live on location December 10th from the Wild Rose Brewery. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is the big show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan as we take you on a spin around the NHL next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan, covering the world's fastest game. Home for the Calgary Flames and the National Hockey League.
The Flames at 5, weekdays 5 to 6 p.m. on the drive home. Rob Kerr talks hockey for 60 minutes. The Flames beat the National Hockey League, the Hitman, or any trending story in hockey. The Flames at 5, brought to you by Pete the Plumber. Outstanding service, competitive pricing, professional personnel, and proud recipients of the Better Business Bureau's Business Ethics Award and the Consumer Choice Award from 2003 to 2014. Flames at 5 with Rob Kerr, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome to the Double T Dude Ranch.
I am so excited. I saved $150 at Fountain Tire, and I want to learn how to rope.
Okay.
At the Fountain Tire Owners event, you save up to $150 on a set of 4 selected Goodyear tires.
I've been practicing. Watch this. Let me try that again. What am I doing wrong?
You should get out of the car first, son.
Ah.
Hurry, offer ends soon. Save up to $150 only at Fountain Tire.
Dude?
Yep.
My spurs are caught on the gas pedal.
Looks like you got your chaps caught on the shifter, too.
Yeah.
Unlike some garages, your Ford store is solemn? No. Humorless? No. Serious about tires. They know your Ford requires a precise? No. Unambiguous? No. Specific sort of tire. So they have Ford-trained connoisseurs? No. Aficionados? No. Experts to find the right ones for you. They'll consider everything, then make the right choice. Plus, they have great offers and won't be undersold on tires. So when it comes to your Ford, beware of parts and tire places unknown. Some restrictions apply. Visit your participating Ford store for particulars. No details.
Everybody knows that Sportsnet 960 listeners are really smart. The sports knowledge is second to none. Most of our guys know the results of the games even before they're played. But for those who might need some help with their football picks, we present Pools and Props with Boomer and Scott Taylor. Thursdays at 9:25 a.m. Listen to the boys' picks for Pools and Props or take your own. Look for the picks in the Fan Club newsletter each week. Get your game on. Pools and Props. Choose the winners and be a legend with Sports Select. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Apples to apples, we're always priced better. Bananas to bananas, we're also always priced better. Kumquats to kumquats. You get the idea. Visions Electronics always has the best price on the electronics you want, and if by the slimmest of kiwi slices you find a lower price, Visions will beat it, saving you cabbage. Sorry, that was corny. Yeah. Visions Electronics, the better price, the wider choice, the smarter advice, with produce priced better. I mean, products priced better.
Have you seen Ben?
Yeah, he must be living at the gym. He looks amazing.
Actually, he's doing doctor-supervised weight loss injections from Modify Body. Word is, they're with you every step of the way, so you're never alone in the process. It's got to be the quickest way to get the body you want.
Have you looked into it?
Yeah, there's tons of info at modifybody.org.
I'll bring it up on my phone now. You said modifybody.org?
Yeah, modifybody.org.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan, proud home of the Calgary Flames and the National Hockey League. We've got your way into the dome for every Flames home game. Fan Club members, use your points to enter to win great seats to Flames hockey. Enter often, it's easy and free. Sportsnet.ca/960 to become a Fan Club member. Flames tickets from Calgary Flames Radio, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Today's Secret Seat brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Watch every CFL and NFL game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
Your secret seat is W98.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home for Boomer and Warner in the morning and Flames hockey at night. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary. Fastest game on earth around the NHL right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Around the NHL on the big show is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Catch every hockey game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
All right, welcome back to the program. Pat Steinberg along with you here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, and Josh Humphreys back at Sportsnet 960 World Control, as we've got a number of teams to take a look at, and quite the performance last night by our first team.
The Anaheim Ducks.
It was kind of a juggernaut meeting last night. The Chicago Blackhawks and Anaheim Ducks, and the Ducks were looking to bounce back. They were coming off an ugly home ice loss to the San Jose Sharks, and man, did they have a strong performance in net from John Gibson.
Good work along the boards by Lindholm, and Boschman fails to clear. Keats drive, partially blocked, lays in front, big save, Gibson, and Tate can't stuff it in.
Yeah, and Josh, John Gibson ends up making 39 saves last night, and Devontae Smith-Pelly scores the only goal to give the Ducks a 1-0 win over the Chicago Blackhawks, and it was a real, and now I didn't see the game because obviously we were watching the Flames and the Habs, but watching the highlights and just kind of the extended highlights on Game Center, that was a really tense game, and both goaltenders were good, and it was a bizarre mistake. Brent Seabrook on the power play trips over himself, and Devontae Smith-Pelly picks up the loose puck and goes in on a breakaway and scores. But a really fun game between Anaheim and Chicago. We should not be surprised by that, should we?
No, and I mean, the couple things I pick up out of this game were for Chicago now, that's twice on home ice where they've outshot a team and probably carried the play for the most part. They did that against the Flames, end up losing that game. They do it against Anaheim yesterday, end up losing that game again. So they're having some tough luck on home ice, but as for the Anaheim Ducks, you knew they were going to bounce back. That was a very poor performance and a very bad effort against the San Jose Sharks on home ice in their last game, so you knew you were going to get a bounce back game from them. John Gibson goes in there. He had a bit of a shaky start to the season, had to go back down to the minors for a little bit to get some time before coming back up to the NHL at this level earlier in the season, so really happy to see him come out and get that performance, and you knew you were going to get a bounce back.
Is that not the biggest story in last night? Is that it was Freddie Anderson who had won seven in a row, and then he was in net for that loss against the San Jose Sharks. So they go back to John Gibson, and what does he do? I said 39, makes 38 saves for his first shutout of the season. That's a pretty impressive thing Gibson did yesterday.
Yeah, that was a very impressive performance from him, and that's something, you know, hopefully he's going to be back and he's going to be ready to go now for the Anaheim Ducks, because, I mean, he was big for him in the playoffs last year, and they got rid of Jonas Hiller for the reason that they figured, you know, not bringing Jonas Hiller back or kind of moved away from Jonas Hiller, whatever it was that they made that decision. That was because they thought John Gibson was ready to make that NHL step and jump into the big time. So it looks like, at least on yesterday's performance, that he is. Not an easy task to shut out the Chicago Blackhawks. Not an easy task to do it when they fire 38 shots in your direction either. And John Gibson standing on his head for the majority of the night, making a statement that he is just as good as Frederick Anderson as a, you know, goaltender the Anaheim Ducks can rely on.
Although it's going to be tough to usurp Anderson right now. I think for the time being, he's kind of solidified himself as the guy. But that's a nice way to put yourself back on the map if you're John Gibson. Ducks beat the Hawks 1-0 last night. That's what's going on with Anaheim.
The Vancouver Canucks.
Well, Pat, the Canucks also got a pretty solid goaltending performance from Ryan Miller. He stopped 29 of 30 shots for Carolina. They are in the win over Carolina, 4-1 the final for the Vancouver Canucks. It was the 300th victory of Ryan Miller's career here in the National Hockey League. And afterwards, Miller talking about reaching that milestone.
It means you might have been playing a while, but it feels good. It's a collection of a lot of good teams, a lot of good players over the years, and take a little moment to reflect. It's been a lot of fun. Just winning's fun, and got to do it quite a bit with some good guys. So try and enjoy this win with this group, because, you know, it feels good.
Ryan Miller off to a great start with the Vancouver Canucks, Pat, now sitting at 6-1 so far this season. Mm-hmm. Vancouver's next action against Montreal, but hey, they've got a solid goaltender in Vancouver. There's no more dispute of who's number one, who's number two. This whole goalie controversy and carousel, it seems like it is finally behind the Vancouver Canucks, and in the past, because right now Ryan Miller's establishing himself as the number one and the only number one goaltender.
Well, and I think that I've got to be a little accountable. I think Robbie and I both do, because it was after that loss to, I believe it was Dallas, where
Dallas got blown out
by the Stars, and Miller was the guy in net. We were kind of talking about, you know, is Miller the right choice? He's 6-1 as Vancouver's goaltender right now. Eddie Lack is 0-2, but Ryan Miller 6-1. I think he deserves some credit here, and so I was kind of, I don't know if I was questioning the move, or I certainly was questioning his effectiveness after that game. Well, I think I was putting too much into one game, because that body of work with a .916 save percentage and a .233 goals against, Ryan Miller's been pretty solid to start the season. So I think that sometimes you have to admit when you're wrong, and I think that I was wrong in the early going about what Ryan Miller is. He's been pretty decent for Vancouver.
He has been pretty decent, and I think I'm wrong in the really underselling the Vancouver Canucks to start this season as well, in a way. I mean, it's only 9 games in, but they're 6-3 record so far. They're playing very well on home ice. They're very tough to play against. Ryan Miller has been the story there. He's given this team a chance to win every single night, and they've come out and played very well. The Sedins and Verbata, that line combination, we all thought maybe the Sedins were on the downward trend of their career, which they probably are still on the back nine, maybe, so to speak, of their career, but they are guys that can still put up some points, and they're putting up some decent points this year, and they're helping the Vancouver Canucks win, so you got to give credit where credit is due, and right now, the Vancouver Canucks have lots of the good things going for them with Willie Desjardins coming in there. He's got this team playing pretty well right now. And the Vancouver Canucks, at this point in time, would not surprise me if they've jumped into the playoffs. Before, I would have said they would be maybe a bit of a stretch. They would be around the bubble, but not quite make it. Now, I think they are a team that very well could be one of the wild card teams, or even the way San Jose's going right now, they're going to give San Jose a good run maybe for that third spot in the Pacific Division.
Well, I certainly always believed there is a chance that Vancouver could give San Jose a run, because I don't think the gap between the two teams is abnormally large. So I think Vancouver was always going to be a team that was in the wild card mix, and it doesn't really change for me right now. I think they're in the wild card mix. I think they're challenging San Jose for that number 3 spot in the Pacific Division. But I guess I'm mostly just impressed with what we've seen from Ryan Miller. Good on him, and hey, let's see if it continues. It still is only 7 games, but let's see if he can continue giving them some true number one goaltending.
Yeah, for the time being, Ryan Miller and the Vancouver Canucks, things going good right now. That's what's going on on the West Coast.
The Boston Bruins.
Hey, more bad news for them, Josh. They've lost defenseman Torrey Krug 2 to 3 weeks with a broken finger. He sustained the injury yesterday in a 4-3 loss to Minnesota. Had 2 goals and 6 points in 11 games. So they're already without defenseman Zdeno Chara. They've had to recall defenseman Joe Morrow and David Warsawski from the American League. They're scheduled to join the team in Massachusetts today and will likely travel to Buffalo to play the Sabres on Saturday. But no Chara. No Krug now. You traded Boychuk to the Islanders. All of a sudden, this Bruins blue line looks pretty thin. And I really think now the Krug thing even adds a little bit more to it. But this is a team that's going to be a bubble team for the next few weeks. I think that they're going to be kind of in and around the 8th and 9th position in that Eastern Conference. Now, when everybody gets healthy, I think they'll be able to climb back up. But again, this might be the year for a Montreal or a Tampa Bay to really put some distance between themselves and Boston early in the first few months of the season and be able to ride that to a division title. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Boston finishes a little further down the standings than we're used to them finishing this year.
Yeah, they're off to a slow start by their standards as well. 5-6 through 11 games. They're under .500
absolutely.
Right now, and the injuries do have a lot to do with that, and I think you're right. They still have a chance to climb back in it once they're healthy, and maybe that's the silver lining in all this, that these injuries to Chara and Krug and the slow start that they're going on, that they're experiencing right now, it's happening at this point of the season early on. Obviously, it's a huge adjustment to make when you had to trade Johnny Boychuk. You really didn't get a whole lot of roster help in return in that trade, because that was more of a salary cap dump than anything else. You had to get give yourself some room in that regard. So that's a tough pill to swallow right now for the Boston Bruins. Tough adjustment with life without Boychuk, and now these guys go down. But for me, it's still early in the season, so maybe that's what the Boston Bruins can really count on. When these guys do get healthy and all back in the lineup, they can make some noise. But if, to your point, I think Montreal, the start that they're on, right now a 6-point gap, that could be a pretty good gap by the time Chara and those guys get back healthy and the Bruins will be ready to make a push. So this is a golden opportunity for the Montreals and the Tampa Bays to pull away.
Well, and I don't think Boston, even with their guys healthy, is as good as they've been. And now you lose Chara, you lose Krug, you trade Boychuk, all of that. This is going to be a very interesting next month, month and a half for the Boston Bruins. Anyway, that's what's happening in Beantown.
The Edmonton Oilers. The Washington Capitals.
Nope, that is not correct at all.
Let's try that again. Do the right teams this time.
The Washington Capitals.
That's the game that's going on tonight. Yes, one of the two games that is going on tonight is the Detroit Red Wings and the Washington Capitals. It is in Washington. The Capitals returning home from that Western Canadian road trip that saw them win or saw them drop two of three games as they swung through Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver tonight. Alex Ovechkin and the team know that they're going to have their hands full.
One of the best teams in the league. Great players. It's again, every game it's a challenge for us right now. So, especially against those guys, the skilled guys, hard working team play. So, it's going to be a hard game for us.
Washington, right now, right in the mix in that Metropolitan Division. They hold down, I mean, I guess it's early to say, but they hold down one of those playoff spots right now, a 4-2-2 start to the regular season. I think they're probably not very happy with their results that they got swinging through here, Western Canada, especially losing up in Edmonton to the Oilers. They did get that win in Calgary as well, but they're a team that's hungry right now, looking to kind of change things around for the better for them right now, and they'll have a chance to do it. But the Detroit Red Wings are a team, Pat, who maybe have they surprised you a little bit so far this season that they're where they are, or is it still too early to really get a good grip on what the Wings are?
Yeah, maybe a little surprise. It's funny, both these teams have identical 4-2-2 records going into their matchup tonight. And, you know, I both you and I were kind of on the same page during the offseason and thinking this might be the year that the Red Wings have their 23 consecutive year playoff streak snapped. And I still think there's a pretty good chance of that. I think the Red Wings were always going to be in the mix for a playoff spot, always going to be in the wild card hunt. But I think there are some other teams who finish ahead of them when it's all said and done. Washington, on the other hand, is a little more interesting just because they're in that Metropolitan Division. And other than Carolina, everybody in the Metropolitan Division is a potential playoff team. So yeah. Washington at 4-2-2 is a nice start. They look so much more structured under Barry Trotz. Watching him play the Oilers, watching him play Calgary, and then watching him play Vancouver over the weekend. They're such a more structured team. So Washington absolutely could be a playoff team when it's all said and done. Of the eight teams in the Metropolitan Division, you wouldn't have to convince me all that much if you're talking about the other seven teams. The only team that you could not convince me as a playoff team, the Carolina Hurricanes. Everybody else, I'd absolutely listen to you and absolutely think you'd be able to make some valid arguments.
Yeah, it's going to be a tight race, and that looks like that might be the closest race and the tightest race right down to the stretch. Columbus, I mean, they've got just ridiculous amounts of injuries piling up now with James Wisniewski getting hurt as well. So the Jackets still have a lot of injuries, but if they get healthy, they're going to be a team. If they can hang in it, still they'll be a threat. So I think you're right. That Metropolitan Division is going to be very tight down the stretch, and the Detroit Red Wings have just as good of an opportunity in that, or sorry, the Washington Capitals have just as good of an opportunity in that division as anybody to make it into the postseason.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm quite curious as to how this game plays out to kind of upstart teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, but there you go. That is what's happening tonight. It is one of two games on the NHL schedule, the Detroit Red Wings and the Washington Capitals, and there's one other game tonight.
The Edmonton Oilers. The Nashville Predators.
And, there we go. The next opponent for the Flames happens to be the Predators, and they're in Edmonton tonight. Oilers riding a four-game win streak, and according to head coach Dallas Eakins, they need to keep piling up the points.
It's about today and getting the points. And whether it's a team from the East or a team in our division or a team from the West, we need the points. And we're going to need them every night. It's never going to change. It doesn't matter what night it is. But the confidence level of our guys is high right now. We want to keep that. And you do that through good play and details and pace. And we're going to have to bring all that stuff tonight.
Oilers are a team that has been able to salvage the first month of their season. And, Josh, that's the most important thing to me, that they've been able to make it so that their season doesn't look like a write-off from November on. Because last year, that's exactly what the circumstance was. They were a complete write-off from November on. So this is it's been a huge four-game winning streak from that for that reason, period. I'm not of the opinion that we're talking about a ton of sustainable hockey right now for Edmonton, but Ben Scrivens has been good. and he's going to need to continue to be good against the Preds. And we know Nashville, one of just two teams in the NHL with just the one regulation loss. They sit 5-1-2 and on top of the Central Division right now. So a big test for the Oilers because of the four games in a row they've won. They haven't won against a Western Conference team yet. So an important evening for the Oilers. And this game's on Sportsnet 1 starting at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and I think with that winning streak, this four-game winning streak, the Oilers definitely probably saved Dallas Eakin's job as well. I think if they would have struggled in this homestand and gone, you know, played pretty poorly, maybe won one game only or two games or something and had a couple of pretty bad losses or embarrassing performances, I would have thought for sure Dallas Eakin's probably would have lost his job at some point during this homestand or been very close to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's see what the Oilers can do tonight. That game gets going at 8 o'clock. That is our look around the National Hockey League. We'll do it again tomorrow with a much busier slate of NHL games. Hey, the call for nominations remains out. Is Sportsnet 960 The Fan and CIR Realty teaming up to salute some local minor hockey heroes. And this is a really cool thing that we're doing. So if you're, because I know that I'm talking to a ton of hockey parents right now. And so your son or daughter plays minor hockey right now. And you're busy and you've got work to figure out. You got so many things on the go. You probably can't have as seamless a hockey experience for your kid without a couple of really, really good volunteers. And if there's somebody in your hockey association that you want to nominate as a local hockey hero, we encourage you to check out sportsnet.ca/960 and recognize them, nominate them. And then when we're all said and done with this initiative kind of in mid-November, CIR Realty and Sportsnet 960 The Fan going to celebrate one deserving volunteer from each hockey association in the city. This is a real cool thing because for players to advance in their careers, for your kid to get to the point where they're playing bantam and midget and maybe junior at some point, and who knows from there on out, you need some help. You need some really important volunteers, and we want to celebrate them again. Nominate your local hockey hero at sportsnet.ca/960 as we're teaming up with our good friends at CIR Realty. We'll wrap up the big show hour number one around the corner with your three burning questions on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
NHL, CFL, NFL, MLB, NLL, WHL, and lots more letters. We cover them all. Sportsnet 960 The FAN.
Around the NHL on the Big Show is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Catch every hockey game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
Is there a mathematical formula for cute? Whatever it is, that baby of yours has it. And if you go to Best Buy and get Dropcam, you can keep a high-definition, motion-detecting, cloud-recording, intelligent, alert-sending eye on her every move from wherever you happen to be. Dropcam has motion and sound detection, which means that the moment that bundle of adorability wakes up and starts being adorable, Dropcam sends a notification to your computer, tablet, or smartphone. And when those chubby little legs graduate from a crawl into a walk, Dropcam's optional cloud recording lets you play back every second in stunning HD. Even share it with family and friends. And now that Dropcam works with Nest, your home and all that cuteness will feel more safe and protected than ever. Trust us, you won't want to miss a minute. Because one day, all that adorability will turn into a teenager. Dropcam by Nest, the super simple way to check in on your home, pets, business, or adorable baby. Available now at Best Buy.
Want to know why more Alberta businesses choose Alberta Blue Cross for their employee group benefits? Not only do we offer the benefits employees prefer, but we also provide an exceptional experience for your employees. Over 90% of our claims are direct billed, and we provide online and mobile-friendly claiming options. We deliver the fastest claim processing in the industry. We make plan administration simple. We deliver unbeatable value and real customer service. Discover the Alberta Blue Cross advantage for your business. Call us today.
How do businesses get results? By advertising with Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hi, my name is Charlene Pellerin, and my husband and I own Mugshot Sports Bar and Grill. We have had so many people come down and check us out simply because they heard us on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. For anyone that's looking for a cost-effective way to advertise, I would highly recommend Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Visit sportsnet960.ca to get connected with our sales team and get Sportsnet 960 The Fan working for you.
At Lexus of Calgary, we aim to remove all inconvenience associated with purchasing and owning a vehicle. Book a test drive online and let us handle the rest. We can bring the vehicle to your home or office for your very own personalized vehicle demonstration. You deserve Lexus of Calgary VIP service.
At Lexus of Calgary, it's about more than just the vehicle. It's about the experience. Let us wow you with our renowned complimentary VIP services. Right now, lease a 2015 IS250 all-wheel drive for $399 a month with $6,175 down. Visit LexusofCalgary.com for details.
Treat yourself to home comfort this winter and enjoy the many savings Reliance has to offer. Right now, for a limited time only, get $500 off a high-efficiency furnace when you buy before October 31st. Problems with your furnace? We'll diagnose the problem for free. These offers won't last forever, so call Reliance Home Comfort Calgary now at 403-264-4822 or hurry over to reliancecalgary.ca today. Some conditions apply.
Zucasa asks, how do you choose a real estate agent?
Well, I take a stack of real estate agent flyers and I toss them in the air. And the one that lands closest to my shoe is my new agent. Kind of a science, really.
You know, there is a better way. Go to Zucasa.com. We'll help you choose an agent based on your needs. Hand-picked agents from top companies in real estate who know their stuff and your neighborhood.
Huh.
Zucasa. Real easy. Real estate. Zucasa is a licensed brokerage.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan and Shank Sports Grill are proud to be the home for the NFL Game of the Week. Calgary loves the NFL. Shank's has two great locations, Crowfoot in the Northwest and McLeod Trail South. Fan Club members log on to win a $50 gift card to catch the game at Shank's. Monday Night Football, always a great time to start your week. Loads of big screen TVs. It's really the only place to watch the NFL. Shank Sports Grill, your football headquarters for all NFL action. The home of the National Football League. League in Calgary, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Proud home for the Flames and Hitmen, Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The questions you're asking, the answers you're craving. It's three burning questions on The Big Show, only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, wrapping up hour number one. Pastimer here at the Dome. Josh Humphreys is back at Sportsnet 960 World Control. Three burning questions with question number one, Joshua.
Well, let's start with the obvious, the big story in all of sports going tonight. It is Game 7 of the World Series. You put John Manuel on the spot. Now let's put you on the spot. What do we have tonight? Who wins it?
I think the Giants win in a close game. I want to be wrong. I want to see Kansas City come away with the victory, but I'll say the Giants a close game. They're just the playoff hardened. All of the experiential stuff that comes into it. I'll lean on the Giants, and I'm curious and the whole angle of Tim Hudson getting the start tonight, the oldest pitcher to ever start a World Series game. I'm quite intrigued, but I'll go with the Giants tonight. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with San Francisco as well. The only way I see Kansas City winning is if they make it a blowout early in this one, if they kind of do what they did last night, because if they get ahead early by three or four or five runs, that's the only way that I think prevents Madison Bumgarner from coming out of the bullpen in the late innings of this one. If it's a close game within a run or two, if the Giants have a lead or if it's tied, they decide to bring Madison Bumgarner out in the sixth, seventh inning or something late in this game to set things up for a closer, then I think the Kansas City Royals are in trouble. So if the Royals are going to win it, they got to get a big lead early. And I just don't see that happening with all the nerves that'll be going on, all the pressure on the younger Kansas City guys. I don't see them getting out to that kind of a lead. San Francisco's been here before. They're the veteran teams, the guys like Hunter Pence and Pablo Sandoval and those guys. It's just not just another game for them, but they've all experienced World Series and stuff before. So I think they're going to be okay in that sense right now. They seem to be a team that just has that swagger to them. So, yeah,
What's question number two?
Question number two, we go back to the Calgary Flames. Jonas Hiller, of course, getting the start, the first time the Flames are going to start a goaltender in two consecutive games this season against the Nashville Predators on Friday. Is he now the number one guy? Do you give him two or three, four starts, or are you still kind of take it game by game with the Flames right now? Or are you ready to make Jonas Hiller that number one guy?
No, I don't think he's the number one guy. I think he's the guy playing best right now, and I think you're riding the guy who's on an incredible roll right now. That to me is what it is. And so it still is a game by game thing. It's still a situational thing. So no, I don't think that we're talking about him taking over and being named the number one goaltender. I think we're a ways away from that. But I do agree with the call to go to Jonas Hillerton on a Friday night, because he's playing too well not to go back to him. He's in one heck of a groove right now, and I think that you have to exploit that. So, yeah, I don't think he's the number one. I just think that he's the guy they're going to roll with for the time being.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to roll with him right now and give him some time to give him a few games under his belt, see how he handles playing, you know, two, maybe three or four games in a row. I mean, the game after Friday is against the Montreal Canadiens again in Montreal, so that's one you probably want Jonas Hiller to go in there as well. The next opponent for the Flames is the Nashville Predators. Just a question about them. They're 5-1-2 this year, just one regulation loss. Only the LA Kings and the other team that only has one regulation loss so far this season. Are the Nashville Predators a team that you think is for real and could be a Central Division contender, I guess, so to speak?
I still think the Predators are where I thought they were during the offseason. I think they're a team that is going to be a difficult out. I don't think they're going to make life easy on anybody, but I think they, talent-wise, fall a little bit short when it comes to the playoffs. And I think they can be in the mix. I think they can be competitive. I think they can be within striking distance for a good majority of the season. But I don't think they're the best team in the Central. I don't think that's sustainable. But I do think that, yeah, they made improvements. They got better this season. And they're off to a very nice start. But no, I don't see them as a contender. I don't even see them as a playoff team myself. I do like the start they're off to. It's kind of nice to see. And it's an interesting story to begin with. And Pekka Rinne coming back and being healthy to start the season turns them into a completely different group.
Yeah, I think they're going to come back down to earth a little bit, especially in that Central Division.
Yeah, I do too.
With Chicago, St. Louis, the way Dallas is going right now, even Minnesota, they're a team I think is going to surpass Nashville at some point. So I do think they come back down to earth. But that is your three burning questions for today.
We have got lots to get to as the big show continues on a Wednesday afternoon from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. We know who's starting in net Friday for the Flames. It ain't the gentleman that would make sense if the alternating system was going to continue, because if we were alternating, it'd be Kari Ramo's game on Friday, but instead they're going to go back to Jonas Hiller, which I believe is the right call. We'll see if Robbie feels the same way as we move along throughout the program. Hour 2 starts in just a few minutes here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sports.